The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Friday, October 29th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. The state of Georgia will lead a federal lawsuit against the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for federal contractors. Governor Brian Kemp and Attorney General Chris Carr will claim the mandate is unlawful and unconstitutional. Its reliance on federal contracts, grants, and other connections has already forced some University System of Georgia institutions to enforce the provision. Under the mandate, contractors have until December the 8th to be fully vaccinated. The Atlanta Braves and Houston Astros play Game 3 of the World Series tonight here at home at Truist Park. The best-of-seven game series is even at 1. The Braves will send Ian Anderson to the mound to start Game 3. He has a 1-0 record in 3 playoff starts. It's the first World Series game played in the Atlanta area since 1999.
There hasn't been a World Series game here for quite some time now, and you know, it's definitely an honor to be starting. I think keeping my emotions in check and kind of just taking it all in is going to be a big factor.
And Georgia native Zach Brown Band was on tap to sing the national anthem prior to the game. It's the end of week two of jury selection in the murder trial of three men accused of killing unarmed jogger Ahmaud Arbery. As of this afternoon, the court has not qualified the 64 jurors it needed to proceed. Lisa Hagen reports from Brunswick, Georgia.
After this week, there will still be about 100 potential jurors who've yet to be questioned by defense lawyers in the prosecution. That's down from 1,000 residents the court summoned for the closely watched trial. Judge Timothy Walmsley continues to say he hopes to have the trial finished before the Thanksgiving holiday, but jury selection is already taking longer than expected. The next challenge for the court will be gathering the 64 qualified jurors in the same room with defendants, attorneys, and court officials during COVID-19. Defense lawyers insist that take place in person, while the judge says pandemic restrictions may not allow it. Lisa Hagen, WABE News.
And a bit more from Lisa this evening. Since the summer, hundreds of Atlantans have called 311 as an alternative to calling the police when they see someone struggling with mental health issues or perhaps extreme poverty. Lisa Hagen reports on the program and potential challenges ahead.
Preston Marshall works in an Art Deco fantasy called Atlanta's Hotel Midtown. Lots of gold, giant floral wallpaper, furniture that looks like it's from the set of Mad Men. Marshall works in loss prevention at the hotel, makes sure it's secure for all their fancy guests. And in his line of work, keeping the fantasy intact sometimes means keeping people out.
Well, in the past, the only option we had was calling 911 and calling the police.
He's had to do it a lot, but there have been times when it gives him an uneasy feeling.
Kind of my heart reached out to some of the individuals, especially knowing that some of them had substance abuse problems or some of them had mental illness.
Since earlier this year, Marshall's had a new option, calling 311. And that's where China Quarker comes in. She's the referral manager with the Policing Alternatives and Diversion Initiative, or PAD. She's usually the one taking calls as they come in, starts figuring out what local agencies or organizations might be useful. Meanwhile, the two-person teams head out. They're people who've worked in hospitals, in mental health, and even peers who have lived experience with homelessness or addiction.
Yeah, so each team is assigned a van. We have it stocked with food, hygiene items, toiletries, all that, so that way, you know, we pass by these areas all the time. We're able to help people.
PAD helps get people medical care, deal with financial entanglements, find emergency shelter, or ideally long-term stable housing. Quarker says often people just need help applying for things like ID cards or other official documents.
Right now, we're right at 800, I think, for community referrals. And, I mean, we're expected to probably do close to 1,000 next year.
After a pilot run, the program went citywide in July. And Quarker says it's been a busy 6 months. They've diverted nearly 300 arrests, all of which is good and bad, according to Quarker. PAD is a small team working on vast, complex problems, which is why they make sure to follow up with community members who called 311. Moki Macias is PAD's executive director.
What I've found is that it makes a big difference for us to call them back. It makes a big difference for us to be really transparent about that. Our current system, right, which we have had in place for decades, is that the police department is responsible to respond to basically any concern, and that the expectation is that they will make that person disappear.
At least for a moment. But if that person is arrested for a minor offense, they're generally released with all the same problems they had to begin with, plus the added trauma of their time in jail. Macias says that's why a big part of PAD's work is community education, explaining that they're not there to make people disappear or force anyone to do things without consent, which she acknowledges can frustrate some people who call in expecting a quick fix.
What we are promising folks is that when we show up, we'll have a respectful, kind, creative, proactive engagement with the person, and that we will do our very best to try and figure out how we can reduce harm for that person and for the community that they're in.
There are a handful of diversion initiatives like PAD popping up across the country. Albany, New York, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Louisville, Kentucky. Most are modeled on a Seattle, Washington program that started almost 10 years ago. Lisa Dugard is a former public defender who helped start the program in Seattle. The next thing Atlanta will have to learn, she says, is how to keep up with demand for the long haul.
The main comparative advantage that the policing system has always had, you know, in the popular imagination, is that officers come.
Day or night, the deal is eventually someone shows up. Both in Atlanta and Seattle, these alternative services aren't available 24/7. Here, PAD is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on weekdays. Another challenge, Dugard says, is that as more people learn about the program, it gets harder to show up on each call. And she said she's seen how that can work to undermine the whole idea.
Lots of appropriate referrals are made, and then community members see that there isn't a response, and that tends to reduce people's belief and enthusiasm for the idea of an alternative, but they would have supported had there been a response.
Atlanta's PAD initiative was able to expand citywide because the city council approved a $1.5 million infusion. In Seattle, the diversion program's annual budget has grown to $13 million. Atlanta's police department, meanwhile, runs on $230 million. For now, in Atlanta, Moki Macias is just trying to find a funding stream that will last long enough for PAD to show some consistent results. Lisa Hagen, WABE News.
And the story was made possible with support from the 4 a.m. Fund for reporting on mental health and policing. Trick-or-treating is a go this Halloween, according to infectious disease experts at Emory University. Dr. Henry Wu says it's an activity that he would consider safe, even for kids who are too young to be vaccinated.
Trick-or-treating is pretty much by definition an outdoor event. And we have shown quite clearly that outdoor settings, when you know, particularly if it's not packed, crowded, is quite safe.
And Wu says kids can stay safer by avoiding large crowds, masking up, and keeping their hands clean. He says adults can reduce their COVID-19 risk over the holiday by keeping events outside and also keeping gatherings small. Sad news tonight, as we report, Channel 2 news anchor Jovita Moore has died. She lost her battle with brain cancer last night. Moore is being remembered for her work both on the air and in the Atlanta community. Legendary anchor Monica Kaufman Pearson talked about Moore's passing with WSB-TV anchor Fred Blankenship.
It's like losing a child, because Jovita, to me, was like a daughter. I know for sure, and I can tell you this, that it was her honor and privilege to follow in your footsteps.
But she made her own.
She sure did.
And that's what's important.
Jovita Moore was 54 years old. She followed Pearson as WSB's evening anchor when Pearson retired in 2012. And that's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at WABE.org. Alex Helmick was our editor tonight. I'm Jim Burris. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Local, state, national politics. WABE and NPR have the coverage you need. I'm Jim Burris, host of WABE's All Things Considered. Whether it's on the air at 90.1, streaming online, or connecting through our mobile app, WABE keeps you on top of election 2024 in what's sure to be a pivotal year in politics. And for candidates and ballot information, visit our election hub at wabe.org/election2024.